Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Mary.
This is Doug.
And this is Wayne.
All right, so we're doing something a little different today because for any of you that are really long-time listeners of the show, you've probably noticed our release schedule has been horrible. And we're trying to figure out how to fix that. And one of the ideas we came up with is an episode format that's not going to become like all we do, but this is just going to be something we're going to start sprinkling in because it's something that we can set up with minimal prep and release with minimal editing.
It's a fun concept that I wanted to play with anyway, and this just is a way to bring everyone else into it too.
Yeah, I love it. And so what we're going to do is there is a concept that some other podcasts have played around with, where we got it from most recently is from Gaming with Gage and Friends, which was a great podcast. Unfortunately, life happened to Gage the same way it's happening to us, and he ended up, I believe, closing down the show. But he was carrying on a tradition of the Iron GM, which is we're going to get an ingredient, and that ingredient's going to be a prompt. And we have to give our pitch for the game that we are going to run using that prompt.
Yep, it could be a campaign, could be a one-shot, could be a twist to something that you're already running.
Yes.
Like something you just throw into the middle of a campaign. One of the things that will be interesting, I had never thought about it before, but I suspect if we have people that are primarily players, we could even see how would you as a player create a character in that world.
So the one that we picked for today is you are at some point in time, we did not say when, and instantly in the course of just one heartbeat, all broadcast signals cease. All right. They're not possible. It's not like everyone suddenly got raptured away or whatever. I guess that is possible for the story.
It's possible.
But broadcast signals have not just ceased. They are impossible to create again for some reason. So by broadcast signals, we mean radio, Wi-Fi, cell phone signals, all that stuff. Just one day, you can't send a signal through the air anymore. And when, where, how this happens, this is what we're going to pitch. And one of the things we're going to do going forward is if this goes well, we're going to start opening up to you guys, particularly our backers on Patreon, who are some of the most long-suffering folks in the world, to give us ideas or prompts that we will kick around and try to make a game out of. But before we get started, since this is a gaming activity, we, of course, must roll for initiative to see what order we go in. So everyone's got their D20. Wayne's four. Going.
I rolled a one.
I'm not going last.
Really? I was expecting probably it was going to be the three of us, then Wayne doesn't get to go till next episode.
I rolled a 10.
I rolled a 19, so I guess I'm going first. All right, so here is my pitch. Here's the game that I would run as if I was GMing this, and that was my ingredient I had to use. I'm going to take something off the table that I don't mean to cut anyone off at the knees here if you're using this in yours. I wanted to drop Alien Intervention because I think it's too easy of an explanation. And I don't say that to slide anyone down the table that may have put that in their explanation. But for me, alien invasion, aliens blocking the signal, and it would feel too predictable to me. So here's the story that I've got. Something terrible is about to happen in the world, and it's the sort of thing that can really only occur if mass communication is in place. Okay, so this could be an outright civil war. This could be some kind of a mass riot. This could be some horrible autocrat's rise to power. And what happens is to slow the spread of information, a very wealthy, very eccentric, very powerful person is able to put up satellites that counteract everything within the bandwidth range that's used for our broadcast signals. And what's going to happen over the course of the game is as the party tries to get closer and closer, to the source of where this person has their lair and how are the satellites controlled and what can be done about it and so on and so forth. I'm going to seed the plot and the setting with some ambiguity that maybe it's not such a bad thing that families are having dinner together again and talking to each other and people are actually making real connections instead of swiping on Tinder or whatever. And on top of that, you guys find out that the event he, she, whomever they were trying to avert was in fact actually quite real and quite dangerous. And so while society has really been set back, and I think something as dark as an inspiration as this is, I think something like COVID would help me map that out because it would give me ideas for where am I going to really emphasize that society has changed. You really emphasize that you can't do things the way you used to. And people are going to find workarounds because one of the things in the description, as we said, it's broadcast. So it's not wired connections. So people are ditching their cell phones and going back to landlines. And do you get a smartphone for a landline? You can run a cable to your internet. You just can't get it over Wi-Fi. And so I want to draw out a lot of the things where society is trying to hobble on and do the things that it's always done, but can no longer do it the way we've always done it. Except instead of social distancing and a communicable disease, the factor here is going to be everything that involves transmitted signal. And I want to show, because to me it's a boring plot, or it's a overly simplistic plot for my GMing style, if the only element there is find who did it and stop it. I want there to be some ambiguity where when you guys get to the power switch, you know, the big on-off prop breaker, that there is a real moment of quandary about should we actually turn this off or not? Or should we join the conspiracy and just let this roll? And if that ambiguity is not there, then as far as I'm concerned, I didn't set up the world very well. So that's what I would do with it. Comments on my dish?
It's definitely an interesting concept. I like the conspiracy. I actually had thoughts about conspiracy when I was coming up with my idea as well. Definitely, I like the idea of it being, too, you've described it as modern day when this happens, I'm guessing?
Yes.
So it's just everyone's going on as they are, and they have knowledge of all of this technology that is suddenly gone. But it gives me a little bit of the very core of Skies of Glass concept, the hope.
Yes.
Because you're building hope into the concept as well.
Yeah, that's something I definitely went for, is if it was all evil, I think it would lose an impact to the players, not the characters, but the players, if it was too black and white. Any other thoughts on my dish, or are you just ready to cook and serve?
No, I mean, I like it. I like the idea that we are using real-world things to communicate changes. And some people, some of your players are old enough to remember when, you know, things like landlines and these things, so it's a return, there's a nostalgia there, but it's also a, how do we make things work with only the things we used to have?
Especially since a lot of those technologies may not be in broad production anymore.
Or they may not work with some of the technology we have currently. Like, these signals literally do not communicate with each other anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Who rolled next? Who got next highest?
It wasn't me.
It was Doug. All right, Doug, you're up.
Okay. I wrote an idea, basically. I don't know if I fully understood the idea of what we're trying to do, but what I wrote down is, to explain the setting, is that this old person, he's curmudgeon-y and angry and tired of people looking at their cell phones all the time and got annoyed with it and created an EMP device which destroys all the wireless signals because he breeds carrier pigeons.
I love it.
Wants to sell them. And he also teaches lessons on Morse code and smoke signals.
Okay, I love it. So you have this kind of Neolithic living sort of person, this sort of off the grid, whatever, who wants everyone to go way back.
I like the idea, too, of this wouldn't even have to be worldwide.
Right.
You could have it be in a small area, and your party is traveling on a road trip, and they just come into this town, and the radio goes off. What happened?
Well, and he breeds carrier pigeons and yeah. such. There's an inspector's game in this.
I also kind of like the idea that maybe this guy is old enough to have been around before any of these newfangled things existed. Yeah. It's not that he breeds carrier pigeons as a hobby. It's that he's just always bred carrier pigeons. The market just died before he did. So he wants to bring it back.
Okay, so Doug actually just gave me an idea. Yeah. He gave me a seasoning I might dash into his dish. But the kind of angle I was thinking of is, what if this guy really is that old? Like, he's an off-the-grid vampire type who got tired of being hunted. He's 1,500 years old, and this is the way he's always done it. This is the only way he knows how to do it.
If we can bring everybody back into yeah. needing what I do, then yes, let's do that.
But he's not just whining about a lost childhood or the fact that the world passed him by. I mean, it's a completely different culture.
Yeah. I just love this NPC already.
All right. I like it.
I got a 4, so I'm actually not last.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, right. Wayne outrolled one. Mary, that is unacceptable, but go ahead, Wayne.
Okay. The very last broadcast that happened that anyone saw Ooh. Was July 21st, 1969.
Oh.
One small step for man... One Ooh. Giant leap for mankind, and then everything goes quiet.
So we're doing like an Apollo, was it 18, 19, and 20, or what is that conspiracy?
So my idea for this is an alternate history where we go through, and I would go through with my players, and basically how did the world develop without having broadcast, where you have to do landlines for everything. The technologies like cell phones never happened. And basically, what does the world look like when you're up in a plane? You have no communication down. You are completely cut off from the world.
Right. You can see the blinking lights, but that's it.
Exactly. Things like GPS don't work because you can't get a signal. You know, you're not broadcasting anything into space. The party has no idea. Like, the players would have no idea what had caused it. And it's not necessarily even about that. But my idea for what it was, landing on the moon triggered a fail-safe device that was implanted in the moon to keep the Earth separate from the rest of the galaxy.
Oh.
Because there is an empire out there, and if we are discovered, this is actually something here to protect us. And this is stopping us from broadcasting all of our signals out and putting a giant, you know,
target
on us for this galactic empire to come in and take us out. So we've developed without it, never realizing that our lack of being able to communicate is entirely a protective thing. And if they reach the point, depending when we set the campaign, maybe they get to the moon and disable it, and now they discover that the Empire is coming. Maybe they never reach the moon because we just play it in modern day, and we develop what this technology would have been like without any of it.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is this is to protect us by keeping us from making our target out of ourselves. And it's put there by some long-lost civilization that... we never meet, never need to meet, because who did it is irrelevant. They just had our best interests at heart.
I could see a conflict. There would be like maybe groups of people who'd want the communication back because it causes all these catastrophic events, you know, like airplanes not being able to land and that kind of stuff. And then there would be another group of people who are terrified of this empire. You know, he's kind of a boogeyman sort of thing.
Yeah, if it eventually gets revealed. Because
mm-hmm.
they've developed the technology without ever knowing the boogeyman's out there. But they have had broadcast long enough that they are impacted. You know, things like you're talking, pilots, planes. There's no ground control. So how do you keeping planes from crashing into each other up there and keeping them out of lane? That would be have to be something that's developed.
Yeah, because by 1969, you're obviously well ahead of a lot of technologies, but broadcast of some form has existed up to this point. And so that technology was at least there in some primitive form. You know, Wayne, I like this one because there's a thought exercise that I have played with in the back of my head for many years, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. When I play the video game Civilization, one of the things I've always found just, I don't know, kind of interesting about it is why is the tech tree in such a fixed order, right? Okay, now I get some technologies are necessary to other technologies. You cannot have bronze if you don't have fire and mining. I get that, okay? That those are necessary technologies. But why does gunpowder have to come after steel? You can make gunpowder weapons that work using other metals or even, in some cases, very heavily reinforced organic materials. You can actually make a gun. I don't, please don't try this. You can actually make a projectile weapon out of bamboo. So why is it that I can't skip over all metal and just start at gunpowder, right? Why do I have to take the technologies in the order that our society just so happened to come across them? And this kind of sets that up because the alternate history is erase every technology that either came into maturity or was outright invented post 1969.
Yeah, at that point, and it doesn't mean that they're less advanced. There would be certain areas that I would want to be more advanced than modern technology.
Yeah, would the 56K modem on your phone line be a whole lot faster than 56K?
Would we have fiber everywhere?
Yeah.
Because we don't have wireless as an option.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of fun to play with there just in terms of what society would look like. Now, as a GM, do you think that one would be a little tough because you'd have to rethink so much about the world?
I think it would be fun as a player, as a part of, like, that the world building would be a part of the draw of the game, where everybody would have ideas and input and be able to help, like, figure out what is this alternate path.
Yeah, and I love alternate history. I always have. It's one of my favorite sci-fi genres. But you get a good group of people that like thinking that way, too. And I would love to see what the players bring to the table with it and what kind of interesting things would be. What are the weird little things? Like, you're in a car and you're still using CD players. Or you're using MP3s because you're not getting anything broadcasted in.
Yeah.
You're bringing your music in with you. So, heaven forbid you're going to talk to people in the car. That can't happen.
And at the same time, the ocean liner crossing the Atlantic can't radio to tell anybody it hit an iceberg.
Yeah.
Like, these are very, it's the same world, but it's very disparate, like, levels of how do you deal with this? Yeah,
when you're traveling, you are completely cut off.
Yeah.
When you're in a car, you have no connection to the world. When you're in a plane, you have no connection to the world. What is that like? And that's something I want to explore, especially because I don't want the space program to end in this world.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a space station up there, they only get to communicate when you send somebody up and send somebody back down.
Well,
Wayne, or we focus on space elevator.
There's something else that you do in yours that I did not do in mine, or a plot hole, a major setting hole, I guess, that's in mine that I don't see in yours, is one of the things I was contemplating is light. Because we can transmit very high-speed data using nothing but light.
Right.
And if you can still see, well, then the visible light spectrum must still be transmitting. And therefore, assuming you have a sufficient line of sight, you could still communicate using things like blinking lights in Morse code or multicolored lasers or things like that. There are ways you could try and get around it. But in your case, because it's a suppressive technology, it would do a better job of explaining why this works and this doesn't. because the technology you're up against isn't from 1969. It's from the equivalent of like 4,169 or whatever.
And it doesn't mean you wouldn't come up with ideas that they didn't come up with, because their technology, whoever said it there, wasn't suppressed.
You know, a fun thing to do would be to look back at all the big promises that technologists made at or before that year and say, okay, that's the direction society went. That instead of making wireless communication and cell phones, we instead now have jetpacks and flying cars and all these other things that
just change your focus and develop.
Now, I don't know that I'm even recommending this, because to be honest, it wasn't very good. But a couple of years ago, there was a movie that came out kind of along these lines, where the moon, they went with the artificial hollow moon sort of conspiracy theory. But once they get up there and investigate it, what they find out is that the hollow part of the moon is a giant, like, habitat and military staging facility from humanity itself. That humanity, way in the past, had a really, really high level of technology and lived somewhere else. And there was a species that was about to wipe us out. And so they hauled the moon into Earth orbit and cut off their technology as a way of hiding from this race. And they left within the moon all of these, like, high-tech weapons and caches of information and whatever, with the idea that by the time humanity had enough technology to realize it was there, the other race would probably have found us again and we'd need it. And I realize that's a bit different than what you're describing.
No, but I like the idea, because in my head I was bouncing around the ideas of what cut off the technology. Was it a ancient race that is trying to protect us? Was it someone from the future that came back? Because that was another concept idea. And I went with the idea of the unknowable past. Yeah. The unknowable past could have been a previous human society that or has like been wiped out by like the
Silurians did it.
Yeah, I mean, it could have very well been a previous society that the Galactic Empire wiped out, and so they wanted to make sure this didn't happen again in the future. And because that's not the important part of the setting.
No, it's not. So, but you say it's not the important part of setting, which I agree. But it also sounds like that's not your plot.
No.
Whereas in mine, confronting this was the plot. Mm-hmm. And in Doug's, you know, finding this person, confronting them seems like the obvious plot. I don't want to speak on Doug's behalf. But in your case, it doesn't sound like that's even the plot.
No, because it's long enough ago that my characters have been born to this world that is already adapted to it.
Yeah.
They are not having this happen to them. This happened to their parents. And so the whole idea of finding and confronting it, they've adjusted. They've adapted. If they find out about it, then maybe they do want to confront it and such. But that doesn't have to be the plot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary, pulling up in Wayne's usual position.
Right, that's, I'm still looking
at this one. I'm going to call it the coal position. The highest initiative is the pole position, and the lowest initiative is the coal position.
This works.
That's fair.
Yeah, no, I like this. Okay, so I'm glad that we get this far, and my idea still can...
Still work.
Still different
it's
enough.
It's still novel. That, yes, it's not is, it retread, is. Right?
That's always the danger of being like, well, I'm the last one. But... So in this instance, the setting would be somewhere relatively near modern day. Could be a little bit in the past, could be a little bit in the future. That part is relatively irrelevant. What actually happens is that when the signals die, they die instantaneously. And it's not that you can't create signal. It's that it never makes it past like the emission point.
Ooh.
And
I got a question on that already. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so this turns into a trying to figure out, you know, basically where is the signal going? Because you're still able to make it, and it's just never going to get anywhere, like, on a molecular level beyond the where it's coming from. And this is either a, and this is the part where my brain does the GM thing where I'm like, it's one of two things. Either it's something along the lines of dark matter, dark energy, that is something that is literally between like the physical molecules that we think of the universe as being made of, that is consuming the signals as they reach the spaces in between. So they're literally being eaten
from
the air.
So what if there's like some kind of futuristic Lovecraftian being that feeds on the signals?
Well, and is it it's literally absorbing them, so it could be something that's trying to gain enough energy, because all signals are energy, all wavelengths are energy. So it's eating these minuscule amounts of power, but if it eats enough of them, it becomes something that can manifest and pull itself out of the nether space into reality. That's one concept. The other one that I, again, wouldn't probably, and this is the problem with me running a game, is that I wouldn't make up my mind until the players got there, is it's either that, where it's something trying to pull itself into this reality, or it's another reality sucking like a straw through the in-between spaces and so, pulling all the energy out of our universe into it, and can you follow the signal to cut it off?
So a transmission on our side arrives on their side.
Mm-hmm. And it's being physically, not physically, obviously, but like somehow pulled through.
Materially, right now.
Yes.
Materially pulled through, which I guess pushes us toward the other universe, may have a stronger white hole cosmology or something like that.
Something to that effect. Well,
and what I love with that one, because the way you've described it at that point, it's pulling the energy through, which means we have less energy here. It actually could be damaging our reality.
Or eating, or consuming our reality. Right.
Really, in either way, you end up with, you're losing something. In one case, it may be something that is drawing enough power to manifest and then continue consuming everything that beyond just pure energy. Or it's something that is draining, like a battery, everything that it can out of the air from our reality into its own. Either way, we are losing something and it needs to stop if we want to survive.
What year did the... Oh, well, in Wayne's case, it was 1969. Yep. Mm-hmm. In my case, it was present day. In Doug's case, it sounded like it was present day-ish.
Right. I said it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere as long as it's near past, like in the last few decades, or even in the few decades from now. Like, it could be in the near future as well.
It just strikes me that at least one transmission had to have succeeded, because otherwise the first person to try and transmit anything.
Right. No, this is definitely something that would be a sudden change.
Yeah, so this is like something what Marconi would shift or whatever. And it would, they would just say, well, I tried it and nothing arrived. I guess that's not a thing.
Right, right. It can't be a world where we never could do this. It has to be something that has suddenly stopped.
Yeah, whereas in Wayne's world, unintended pun, we never even noticed it was missing, the same way that none of us have noticed that, I don't know, billboards in orbit don't exist.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I just mean it's hard to miss a technology that never occurred.
Technology, yes.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
You knew about signals because enough signals were there.
Right.
And it actually stopped during the moon landing.
But the sudden loss of my smartphone wouldn't bother me.
Right.
They never existed in the first place.
At least not in that configuration.
Right. You have completely different technology that you have developed in this time.
Right. And that's not the case here, where it's something is causing a problem because it's changed everything.
Man, and the desire to move that information, it seems like that would create social pressures on society in all of these settings to do things like increase the speed of travel. Because like right now, we don't allow people to travel nearly at the speeds that our technology is capable of getting to. Get on the interstate and you'll find out. Eventually. And so we would start to probably loosen that, because it's like, well, maybe you do have a good reason to need to go 100 miles an hour down the interstate. Or maybe we really do need to have regular passenger planes that are supersonic, like the Concorde was.
Well, and especially getting across oceans.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you have things like the United States, Canada, Mexico, we're all cut off from the rest of the world.
You have, like, the transatlantic cable is literally your only connection anymore.
Yeah, and that didn't exist in my world in 69. I don't remember when it got put in, but
I don't know either.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, but either, so it's not something that's there yet, so...
Yeah, but now if you need a boat to suddenly tell everyone that it's stuck at sea... How do you do that, right? Do you do you suddenly allow louder sounds? Because sound transmits information.
Yeah. Let's say someone is lost at sea and you send out search parties.
How do you coordinate
the first party finds them and everyone else is still out there looking because they never know.
And so it becomes a social norm that we call every third hour the check-in hour or something. That it's just understood that at these intervals you have a different watch of the night or something where people are supposed to reconvene because it's the only way to share information. I don't know.
Or you have things where people have to operate in just larger groups because being out of eyesight means you can't communicate or find each other again.
I think the key to this one, regardless of which of our four approaches or whatever nth approach you, the listener, come up with, I think one of the real keys to this is to not just bemoan the technologies we've lost, but to have at least a small degree of optimism that humans have a certain level of ingenuity, we will find a way to make society, even if it's a very different society, still work somehow. So some things are going to go away, but I think necessity being the mother of invention, other things are going to come into being or do better than they have in our world. Because of the fact, like one of the things I've always wondered about, it's just a fun mental exercise, is what if ranged weapons had never existed? And to this day, we waged war with sword, shield, and armor, but we were making them with modern alloys and modern technology. So you have like a tungsten carbide suit of armor. I'm making that up, but you know, you have a sword that is so well crafted. Because we as a species thought about that for centuries longer than we would have otherwise. And, you know, our high technology arms race, it didn't go into guns, tanks, missiles, and nukes. It went into really asinine technology levels with swords and shields and maces. And
I mean, that is a world where you start having giant robots, and I'm okay with it because this is a real world where the bigger it is, the more you can hurt because you can physically hurt larger things.
Yeah, you can just physically smash.
Yeah.
The other thing I find interesting is in all of our pitches, and this may say more about us than anything else, we all gave sci-fi bends to it. Not one of us said...
What, with magic?
Yeah, not one of us said, wizards were sick of this, and so they cast a spell.
You could kind of go that route with Mary's, because one of the common tropes in fiction is that science and technology cannot, or excuse me, science and technology, that science and magic cannot coexist. Like, take Shadowrun. If you cast spells, it's a bad idea to have cyberware. If you have cyberware, it's a bad idea to try and cast spells. So there's this equilibrium. I know a lot of urban fantasy does this, where like a gun won't work for a wizard, but a spell won't work for a regular person.
Yeah, somehow the energy is either negates itself or it just, they are incompatible.
Yeah, so is there like an Order of Hermes or some Lovecraftian being or whatever it might be that notices its power is being diminished by the encroachment of technology? And so they kind of get sick of it and shut it down or find some way to siphon it off to allow their power to flourish. And then, of course, you have the question, well, now where does that go? And how does the average person on the street feel about the fact that Merlin just took away his porn?
Yeah. And now I definitely know which one of the other prompts we have set aside I want to do next.
All right, cool. Well, like I said, this is an idea we're playing with. So we're going to see what the reception is with the audience, if you folks like this or not. If you do, let us know. If you don't, let us know. We're trying to keep the show together, and we're cycling through ideas right now. So you're not going to crush us if this ain't your thing. But if it goes well, if it's well-received, if the majority seem to like it, we'll start taking open ideas, and we've got more ideas ourselves. So thank you guys for tuning in. Quick note that Fear the Con does have a Kickstarter coming soon. We have not forgotten that. It is still a thing. And the convention dates,
Convention is Worldwide Wing Night on June 20th, with the actual convention itself on the 21st and 22nd.
Yep. Same location as all of our most recent years. It'll be at the Drury Inn in Brentwood, Missouri. And no, that is not in the dangerous part of St. Louis. We get asked that every year, and it's a fair question, but there you go. No, it is not in the dangerous part of St. Louis. And so we hope to see you there for some good games, good times.
We hope to see you on the Kickstarter, because that needs to fund for it to happen, and we rely on you.
Yeah, that is also true. So, other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.